Today on Straight Talk Africa, Nigerians go to the polls Saturday. That's when they will decide on who will be in charge of the African superpower for the next 4 years. But observers say the race for Aso Rock is too close to call. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. It's Wednesday, March 25th. I am Shaka Salih, coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington.
Hello, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll begin the series of programs. Part of Voice of America's Nigeria Decides 2015 for Africa's most populous nation and largest economy. This will include a special edition of Straight Talk Africa on Election Day, Saturday, March 28th at 1800 UTC.
Well, we have so much to talk about, a lot to cover today and on Saturday. Coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on this long-awaited election in Nigeria. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, incumbent President Goodluck Jonathan and his main challenger, former military ruler, Major General Muhammadu Buhari, retired but certainly not tired, face each other in a close race set against a background of mass unemployment and security fears. My colleague Vincent Macaulay has more on the story.
President Goodluck Jonathan has promised to do more to fight graft and insecurity as he seeks to be re-elected for the second term. President Jonathan has reached out to the youths who comprise the biggest voting bloc in Nigeria. A former zoology teacher who was born to a family of canoe makers, Mr. Jonathan grew up in a poverty-ravaged rural village in the Niger Delta long before becoming the president of Africa's most populous nation. His grass-to-grace rise has always endeared him to the youths.
Ever since President Goodluck came on board, we have noticed changes in Nigeria. And we believe that a second tenor for Mr. President is a second tenor of change for Nigeria. And that's why we are all here. So he's the father of the youth, actually. And he has been a friend to the youth. That's why we are supporting him.
Jonathan's time as vice president was credited with successful negotiations with the militants in the Niger Delta. But as president, he has had no such luck in the north, where an insurgency by militant Islamist group Boko Haram has gained momentum under his rule. It has led to his critics accusing him of being ineffectual, a charge he denies.
A lot of us believe that the president has squandered the opportunities that he was given in the past 4 years. No other individual in the history of this country has had the opportunity of such meteoric rise to be able to get to this level that God has elevated him. And it is our belief that he squandered that opportunity.
Buhari, who is seen as tough on security and graft, has campaigned on a reputation of toughness gained when he was military ruler of Nigeria in the 1980s.
We want a change, and that change is in APC via Buhari and Osinbajo. The nation has been deformed. What they call transformation agenda, we only see it on paper. We want a change for our today and for the tomorrow of our children.
Buhari's message is simple. Nigeria's two biggest ills are corruption and insecurity. He cracked down on both in 1983, and he can do it again. Others, however, remember less celebrated bits of his past, like crackdowns on press freedom and detaining political opponents without charge.
It's not like Buhari, there's no middle ground. You either like him or you hate him. I mean, those who like him, they absolutely love him in the north, especially he has a lot of big following in the north. It's now, however, he has nationwide appeal, and that's part of why they came together with APC, to form APC, to try and give a nationwide appeal to combine his votes in the north with more votes in the south.
Jonathan is backed by People's Democratic Party, whose candidate has won every presidential race since the end of military rule 16 years ago. Opposition parties are confident they may be able to force a runoff. At the end, though, it is the voters who will decide come Saturday, March the 28th.
That was my colleague Vincent Macaulay reporting. Now joining us here in our Washington studios are three distinguished guests. Emmanuel Nwude, chairperson and president of Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. committee of the Goodluck Ebere Jonathan Global campaign team for 2015. Ogbeni Lanle Banjo, former National Conscious Party gubernatorial candidate for the Nigerian southwestern state Ogun. He supports opposition presidential candidate Major General Buhari of the All Progressive Congress Party, or APC. And last but not least, Ni Akwete, an independent Africa policy analyst based here in Washington, D.C., who is currently working with the African Immigrants Caucus. He was formerly the executive director of Africa Action and former director of George Soros Open Society Institute based in Nigeria. Well, gentlemen, I have to say frankly that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. But before we begin today's discussion, I am joined by my colleague Peter Klote, host of Voice of America's Nightline Africa and reporter for Daybreak Africa, who is on assignment in Nigeria covering the historic election. He joins us via telephone link up from the commercial capital, Lagos. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, Shaka.
Where specifically are you in Lagos? Lagos happens to be a huge place. Are you somewhere like in some of those beautiful places like Ikoyi? Where are you?
Yes, I am just outside Ikoyi. They call it Victoria Islands, where you have the plush hotels and all that. But I am also at the Colosseum of the godfather of the APC. He's talking about Atiwaju Bola Tinubu, who is having his lecture here. And with me here, I have General retired Muhammad Buhari, Afibanjo, his deputy, the chairman of the APC, the spokesman of the APC, Governor Amachi of River State, who is the campaign chairman of the APC. So all the big stalwarts of APC are currently here in Lagos, Virginia Island to be, Victoria Island to be specific, Shaka.
So what is the mood like, given that from what we know, that happens to be a bastion of opposition in Nigeria?
It is a festive mood here. They have vowed to win Saturday's presidential election. And one of the campaign messages is that they are confident and that they will not engage in any act of violence. They promise Nigerians, especially the youth who are going to school, of one free meal a day. That is one of the agenda. And they said they are going to build 4 million new homes by 2019. That destitute Nigerians will be able to be given loans to be able to purchase them. And they are going to wipe out corruption, which is the mantra, of course, of General Buhari. And they said that this election is going to be a clean-hand election because of the use of the card reader, which will authenticate or verify the authenticity of anyone who brings what they call the PVC, or the permanent voter card, to determine whether that person has cloned, which is reproduced, the voter card or not. And they say that the nation is not for sale, and they accuse the ruling People's Democratic Party of buying people's vote of, you know, traditional leaders and all that. They accuse the ruling party of using 1 trillion Nigerian Nigerian money to purchase media organizations and all that, advertisement, opinion leaders, and they decry that. But of course, officials of the PDP that I spoke with deny all these charges as without merit, Shaka.
You've obviously been on the ground now for the last 1 week. You began in Abuja and you are now in Lagos. When you talk to people, have you been able, for example, to verify that this election, in fact, is election about the message, about issues, rather than the messenger, rather than personalities?
Well, Well, Shaka, I can tell you that the people that I have spoken with are hammering on issues because they think that the ruling party hasn't done enough. Specifically, President Jonathan hasn't done enough. They want more constant electricity power supply, and they think that the perception of corruption is rife, among other issues. On the other hand, there's deep-seated ethnic and geopolitical and religious sentiment in the politics, and people fear that that could play a significant role in who wins Saturday's presidential election, Chuck.
What about the issue of unemployment? Because we gather that there is really mass unemployment on the ground. And what about the issues of security? At least given that lately the Nigerian security forces seem to be making some positive, you know, some really positive or gaining some positive ground.
A lot of Nigerian youth are unemployed, but President Goodluck Jonathan's PDP have said that they have improved on the job market in Nigeria, although the APC said they have not done enough. Well, to the issue of security, the APC has accused the PDP of doing very little when Boko Haram started to create havoc in the country. The latest development of gains made by the military is just a public exercise after allies in the region joined in against Boko Haram. Say that this being the military hitherto were running away from Boko Haram, it shows that Jonathan is hell-bent on winning the election. But it remains to be seen how the issue of security will play in this Saturday's presidential election, especially with being liberated from the authority of Boko Haram, which then will allow the Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC for that matter, to organize the new Shaka.
What about Buhari? How does he seem to be panning out, especially in the northern part of Nigeria? Is it true from some of the reports, for example, that he has in fact perhaps succeeded in consolidating his support in the north?
Well, there's no doubt, Shaka, that General Buhari enjoys a significant support in the north. However, the APC officials that I spoke with said that the election was postponed primarily to enable the PDP to bounce back. And that in especially a state like Kano, where General Buhari enjoys enormous support, the PDP is showing some sense of life. Now, Governor Kwankwanso of the APC has gotten a little bit of the backlash because some members of his cabinet and one member of the State House Assembly defected yesterday to the PDP. So this shows some form of life that the PDP appears to be getting in some of the northern states. However, Buhari still enjoy a significant support in the northern sectors for northern states in Nigeria ahead of the election, Shaka.
Peter, did I hear you correctly saying that you have actually been told by senior PDP officials that the election was postponed from February 14 to March 28, not for security reasons really, but for political reasons? Because you talk about how they wanted the president to catch up.
Well, Shaka, that is exactly the point. I spoke with four different officials of the APC, including the spokesman of the party, Alhaji Lai Mohammed, who I interviewed, and he said that, one, the election was postponed not for security purposes, but to affect the rigging machinery of the PDP. And two, because PDP was on the ropes, all polls showed that the PDP was going to lose the February 14th election. So it was a planned, well-orchestrated move by the PDP to postpone the election. And their view is that PDP is showing some sense of life. Now, that can be buttressed by the fact that a latest poll by Nigeria Polls and Survey Groups, an independent organization, which released its research, showed that incumbent President Goodluck Jonathan will win Saturday's election with 7.0% of the vote. This counts as two other firms, including Forward Magazine and Zevland Ventures Limited, came to present to win with about 17% of the vote. But, of course, the opposition rejected the three polling groups, saying they are not a true reflection of what is on the ground, and they blame the PDP of funding the study to skew it in its favor ahead of the election. And the PDP maintains that in all the six geographical political zones of the country, it has four of the zones in it firmly in its corner, and there is no way that the PDP will win this election. This, according to the APC officials that I spoke with in the course of the time that I have been here, since, of course, Lagos is the APC stronghold, Shaka.
Thank you very much. We'll have to stop right there. I'd like to thank my colleague, Voice of America's Peter Kalote, who is on assignment in Nigeria. He joined us via telephone link-up from Lagos. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Nigeria Decides 2015. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
President Goodluck Jonathan was born on November 20th, 1957, in Nigeria's Bayelsa State. President Jonathan and his wife, Patience, have two children and several foster children. He holds a master's in hydrobiology and a doctorate in zoology. Jonathan joined politics in 1998, and a year later, he was sworn in as deputy governor of Bayelsa State. He became vice president on May 2007, a position he occupied for 3 years before becoming president. In January 2012, President Jonathan announced the start of a controversial plan to end fuel subsidies. 2 years later, he signed into law the Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act. He is Nigeria's first president from the Southern Niger Delta oil region.
A historic presidential campaign in Nigeria winds down, and Voice of America is there. Join host Shaka Sali and VOA's Straight Talk Africa this Saturday for special day-of coverage of Nigeria's historic elections. You'll get on-the-ground reports from VOA journalists in Nigeria, in-depth discussion and expert analysis of the most important election issues. Straight Talk Africa's special Nigeria Decides election coverage, a commitment to Africa from Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui, and welcome back. Today is the first of three programs dedicated solely to in-depth coverage of the historic Nigerian presidential election as part of Voice of America's Nigeria Decides 2015. Our distinguished guests are Emmanuel Nwudi, chairperson and president of Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., committee of the Goodluck Ebele Jonathan Global Campaign Team for 2015, Ogbeni Lanlebanjo, former National Conscious Party gubernatorial candidate for the Nigerian southwestern state Ogun. He supports opposition presidential candidate Major General Buhari of the All Progressive Congress Party, or APC. And last but not least, Ni Akwete, an independent Africa policy analyst based here in Washington, D.C., who is currently working with the African Immigrants Caucus. He was formerly the Executive Director of Africa Action and former Director of George Soros Open Society Institute based in Nigeria. Well, gentlemen, once again, of course, you're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's a pleasure. Let me come to you immediately, Emmanuel, and for you in particular, I have to say frankly that it's a pleasure to host you for the first time on this program.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome, sir. Now, Emmanuel, you just heard, of course, that apparently the election, at least according to senior PDP officials, your friends, that this election, in fact, was apparently postponed, not because of security reasons, really, but because of political reasons. Do you agree with that?
I do not. And it's good they brought up that argument, because democracy, fairness, and respect for human dignity is what is in question here. Remember, over 30 million people did not have the PVC card.
Mm-hmm.
And
the permanent voter card.
Yes. Those that don't have that card to vote, they are all from northern region,
mm-hmm.
which is controlled, or you can say they are favorite of the APC. Now, the question is, if the election was done at that time, those people will be
disfranchised.
And if we can remember, because I was one of those who Nigerian Biafra War, that tested that Nigerian Biafra War.
Mm-hmm.
And Nigerian Biafra War was partly as a result of not respecting human rights. This 30 million people, three states, what do you think if they don't vote and they don't win?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that they will come back and say, who are you ruling?
Really?
Because that segment may create another problem in the future.
I see. Well, Ranley, how do you respond to that? Because this seems obviously to be contrary to what the chairman of INEC himself, Professor Jega, in fact, had said. Because the last time I checked, he seemed to have said that in as far as he was concerned, he was ready to go.
Thank you, Shaka. The reasons being provided by the presidency is extremely impotent. One, we have 772 local governments in Nigeria, and only four local governments are affected by the Boko Haram issues. If they wanted to go, they should have gone ahead with that election. Mm-hmm. However, they cannot keep their lives straight. President Goodluck Jonathan made several ads on TV. Every ad he made on TV and on the on in newspapers, it will say vote for Jonathan, no date, before the postponement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we all saw this. And there have been a rumor that they will postpone the election before that. Now, when the Federal Executive Council met, and Jega made it clear that PVC is ready for elections, now they hide under security. Now they are saying it's no longer security, because those four local governments now, they are saying there may not be elections there. However, one of the important excuses they give is that PVCs are not ready, just like my brother said. Jega was appointed by President Goodluck Jonathan. Now, I would have worked with him publicly and say, by so-so date, I want all PVC ready, so that every Nigerian who attends the age of 18 will routinely register to vote.
Mm.
But because of the game that Jonathan wants to play, Jonathan has caught,
mm-hmm.
they let him alone.
I see. Well, what about you, Wani, looking at it from your perspective? I seem to have known, at least back in January, listening to the National Security Advisor, in fact,
yes.
suggesting that he didn't think, frankly, there should be an election on February 14th, that they could possibly postpone it later. After all, the Constitution allows you to conduct an election perhaps up to sometime mid-April.
Yes, yes. I remember the National Security Advisor saying that, especially when he visited Chatham House in the UK, and he admitted that, in fact, they had asked Professor Jega to postpone the elections because the cards have not been distributed. But at the time, he said clearly, Professor Jega turned us down. Also, you know, Professor Jega has had actually a good reputation. I know people in this town, in Congress, in the Senate, who have said that he has done such a good job that they use him as an example. And when the National Security Advisor said, well, we asked him to postpone, and he said no, because the time left, he could distribute the cards. I thought, well, he was showing a lot of backbone. So I give him credit for standing up. Now, when he came back and said now he needed to postpone, I said, well, if he refused the first time and he's agreeing this time, you have to give him some credit. Now, I'm also looking at what happened in the interim, where the Nigerian military has announced that they've made a number of progress and pushed Boko Haram out of a number of areas. So based on all that, and given that the postponement fell in the window of time allowed by the Constitution, now, frankly, I'm nonpartisan. I'm watching how the U.S. and other African countries deal with Nigeria, and we want clean and peaceful elections. But my personal opinion is that if the postponement allowed the security situation to be firmed up for more debates and for the cards to get to everybody, then perhaps some good came out of it.
Now, talking about the impeccable credentials of Professor Jagan, as far as some people in this town or in this capital are concerned, and of course this is a capital where some of the decisions that control or affect the rest of the world are made. It is very interesting because it reminds me of another example of a chairman of an electoral commission of Kenya.
Right.
Back in 2007, a Mr. Samuel Kivuitu.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, he has since passed away. And you know what happened in 2007?
Yes. Yes. Well, that is true. You know, I mean, the work that I do that I have done for decades is precisely that those of us who live here in this country, and this being a democracy, we need to watch what the government does. And when we think it's stepping wrong, we call into question. So it is not to say at all that if an American official says this is being done right, we take them as his word. No. We, in fact, our job is to be skeptics and to say of the areas we know, Africa, we know Kenya, Nigeria, we are going to watch. And when we see you doing the wrong thing, we will call attention to it. So I take your point that just because an American official says Jega has done a good job does not mean that he actually has. But it is also true that he had enough backbone to say to the government no over the PVCs, and then he said yes when it came to security. So I'm sort of neutral on that, but I am saying that the postponement seems to have brought some good things happening, and it was in the window allowed by the Constitution.
But to what extent, frankly, can one individual, a Professor Jega, really affect an election? Shouldn't it be the institution, really?
Precisely. So, of course, we use his name as a stand-in for the commission. And in the Constitution, there are powers and consultations that he has to do. And, of course, I mean, the political parties in Nigeria, the two biggest, represented my brothers here, they are very vigilant about their interests. So if they think that he's stepping wrong, they will call him out, they will challenge him. Now, of course, not every allegation leveled out is a fact. But you are right that it is an institution we are talking about. He has powers, but he also has responsibilities and constraints.
Very interesting. Well, you are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jero. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding and fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week.
Kelechi from Ugwu in Nigeria writes, "For the first time in Nigeria's history, the ruling party has very strong opposition. I see it as the beginning of a new democracy. Presently, it is very hard to conduct a free, fair, and credible election in a nation that encourages corruption. The unfairness started with the issue of consensus candidate adopted by most political parties at primaries."
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel.
Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidui, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Tens of millions, of Nigerians are expected to cast their ballots in Saturday's presidential and parliamentary elections. Nigeria's Independent Electoral National Commission has reassured voters that the elections will proceed as planned despite continued security concerns in the country's northeast. This has all eyes turned to Africa's biggest economy and most populous nation, leading us to our question of the week, which asks, how confident are you that Nigeria is prepared to hold a free, fair, and credible presidential election on March 28th? Well, we ask the question, and you've written in expressing your opinion. So let's go to Justina Nwekeji from Abuja in Nigeria, who posted this comment on our wall, saying, I am very confident Nigerians are tired of being seen, especially by the West, as not being able to get things right by themselves. Also, the level of political awareness now is so high that even the evildoers will have to think again before attempting any election disruptions. Well, another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOANigeriaDecides2015. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. And speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Emeka Ulor, who writes, yes, no doubt, and the card reader is a great disruption to the usual electoral frauds. And we have another tweet from Sir Akani Ade, who disagrees. It reads, with all due respect, I don't think Nigerians are ready to take the bull by the horn and ask for free and fair elections. But, well, Shaka, he ends his comments right there, probably due to the 140 character restrictions from Twitter. Oh, well, he was able to express his opinions. Your thoughts, guys.
Well, how do you respond or react to that, Emmanuel?
I believe that Nigerians and the electorates in particular are ready to do the election come this 28th, Saturday, mm-hmm. which is March. And I believe they've learned their lesson and they want to show an example of what they are, the giant of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that both parties will not want to, engage themselves into any disruption that will make them look bad. Also, I believe that the government, President Jonathan's government, will do their best working with, in collaboration with the police or the security measures to make sure that nobody disrupts this election.
I see. Well, Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with our audience, please?
Well, we'll move on to a posting from Owen Gabriel Akubo from Nigeria's Ogun State, who says he aspires to run for Nigeria's House of Assembly in 2019. Well, Gabriel, certainly wishing you good luck. And he writes, yes, absolutely, Nigeria is fully prepared to conduct the election due to the improved security in northern Nigeria. But the major issue lies in voter apathy. I believe there will be a high level of voter apathy because we have lost so much confidence in the present government. And we have another one, this time a Facebook comment that comes from Fred Asiedu Dankua from Accra in Ghana, who says, I think the upcoming election in Nigeria cannot be free because this is their first time ever using the biometric machine to cast their vote. When the government in power loses, what do you think they will say? They will say this election was not fair and transparent. Also, will Nigeria's security forces be ready for any unexpected attacks from Boko Haram militants? Well, quite a range of valid questions. Shaka and guest, your thought on these ones.
Lanley, your take on that.
Yes, sir. Nigerians are ready to move from Buhari, Sebaba, and to move him from that and to get him to be the president of Nigeria. Because we have Jonathan, who breeds and waters corruption, is incompetent, is insensitive, and is extremely uncaring. He himself, on December 28, 2014, and I quote, he said, "One of the reasons that I go around the churches, at least in Abuja, is to thank my brothers and sisters for praying for Nigeria," unquote. And he said, "The Nigerian problems are increasing, and he's supposed to make sure the Nigerian problems reduce." That, in that statement, he himself admitted that he's extremely incompetent.
But when that you say one. When you say that he is insensitive,
yes,
it seems to me that that is a very, very serious charge.
It is.
When any empirical evidence of that?
Oh, yes, sir. When 16 people were killed in Kano by Boko Haram, Bad Luck Jonathan was, in fact, dancing Asonto in Kano on the day that 16 people were killed. When 2,000 people were killed in Baga, Jonathan said nothing. So, now, it's also insensitive because after February 14, after the postponement of the election, Jonathan started visiting kings, visiting civil society, bribing them in dollars. The least got $500 million. Where that is putting pressure on our naira. Our rate of exchange now.
You don't have a videotape of that alleged bribe, do you?
It was in the paper. I didn't deny it.
Well, thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, that will do it for today's social media segment. Thanks to our guests for responding to the audience's questions. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to get to us. Please, please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Now, don't forget also that we'll have a special election edition on this show on Saturday, beginning at 1800 UTC.
Join us for a special edition of Straight Talk Africa on Saturday. As Nigerian voters cast their ballots, we'll have a special election day discussion on the key issues that will decide who wins the presidency. That's Saturday right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. And today is the first in a series of three programs dedicated to in-depth coverage of the historic Nigerian presidential poll as part of Voice of America's Nigeria Decides 2015. Our distinguished guests are Emmanuel Nwudi, chairperson and president of Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. committee of the Goodluck Ebere-Jonathan Global Campaign Team for 2015. Ogbeni Lanle Banjo, former National Conscious Party gubernatorial candidate for the Nigerian southwestern state, Ogun. He supports opposition presidential candidate, Major General Buhari, of the All Progressives Congress Party, or APC. And last but not least, Nia Kwete, an independent Africa policy analyst based here in Washington, D.C., who is currently working with the African Immigrants Caucus. He is the former director of George Soros Open Society Institute, based in Nigeria. Gentlemen, once again, of course, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
It's
great to be here.
You're most welcome, gentlemen. I gather that we do have, of course, the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Let's go to Okolo in Nigeria. Good evening, Okolo. You're most welcome, Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. Good evening, our guests.
I am
good evening.
Here.
Good evening.
Mr. Saka, what I'm looking at is, I'm calling on all Nigerians because we have to kick against political violence before, during, and after. Because sometimes when you look at the campaign, the way people are reacting and behaving during campaign is very, very disheartening. So I call on the youth not to be allowed to be used to disrupt the election, because the future of this country belongs to the youth. If the youth happens to be used as a talk or to carry the political box or the voters kind of throwing away or the boxes, they are the people losing. And I'm trying to find out from our guest. Now, you have seen that Nigerians are ready for the election just 3 days from today. Now, how do you think and what do you think that will be the future of this country? At the end of the day, when everybody is singing continuity and some are singing change, how do you see it?
Thank you. Let's go to Justice Steele from Nigeria and then bring it here. Good evening, Justice from Nigeria. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. I am glad to be on to Straight Talk Africa.
Could you please, Justice, could you do me a favor, Justice, and turn down the volume of your television set or radio, because we are getting an echo on the line, please.
I have done that right away. I think you are getting a better signal now.
Thank you. Go for it. You have a minute, please. Go for it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I am Justice Ekweme. I am calling from Ebonyi State in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
I am happy, I am glad to be on to Straight Talk Africa. I want to say that Nigeria is really ready, prepared for the Saturday election. The reason being that this is a long-awaited assignment handed to a very reputable personality in Nigeria, Professor Jega. Those who have known Professor Jega know that he's a no-nonsense man. He's very thorough. And so he's prepared. He's not looking back or listening to side talks about what people say. But the only thing I am saying in addition or as very what people have been saying is that the issue of the card reader machine ought not to have been used this time, knowing full well that this election is not a testing ground. You know, the card reader should have been used to check the regularity or irregularity of civil servants in offices. But since the guy is a power person and has decided that the card reader should be used, let him go ahead. The fact remains that Nigeria cannot afford, the federal government of Nigeria cannot afford, Jega and his team cannot afford to allow the loss of resources so far invested or put in this election.
Thank you.
This preparation started to go west.
Thank you, Justice. Thank you, Justice. Just be just as your name, please. Let me come to you, Nii. Your reaction, especially to Okolo's earlier question.
You know, I had trouble making out his question. So I was wondering if you might summarize it for me. I listened hard, but the connection wasn't the best. So
I think he was talking about the manner in which the campaign has been going. He hopes and wishes, frankly, that there is no violence whatsoever.
Absolutely. In fact, I will underline that, I will highlight that, because, in fact, one of the things that happened this week here in Washington is President Obama himself taped a message to the people of Nigeria. And Mr. Kerry wrote an op-ed piece, and a few days before that, Vice President Biden also called the two leaders, and all of them. Now, I monitor U.S. policy towards Africa, and because of the elections, U.S. policy relations with Nigeria, and there are things that I'm not too happy with, but these calls from the top of the American government to the Nigerian people and their leadership, I thought was spot on, and they all stressed that we want elections that are free, peaceful, and fair. And so I think with all of that pressure coming, we hope that it will be peaceful. One other thing quickly, Shaka, they also added something that I think we ought to stress.
These are
two powerful parties, but one of them has to lose. So the other thing that we need to look at is If people lose, they should be able to accept the results. If they think there were problems, they should take the problems to the court, because there are court processes for dealing with that. It should not be violence, and it should not be ruckus in the street.
Well, Buhari has been in the courts very, very many times, isn't it? A reminder that you're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
General Muhammadu Buhari was born on December 17, 1942, in Nigeria's Katsina State. In August 1975, General Murtala Mohammed appointed Buhari as the governor of Northeastern State. On March 1976, General Olusegun Obasanjo appointed Buhari the Federal Commissioner for Petroleum and National Resources. In December of 1983, Buhari was one of the leaders of the coup that overthrew the democratically elected government of President Shehu Shagari. On August 1985, Buhari was overthrown in a coup led by General Ibrahim Babangida. In 2003, Buhari contested the presidential election as candidate of the All Nigeria People's Party, but lost to General Obasanjo. On March 2010, Buhari dumped the ANPP and floated his party, the Congress for Progressive Change. On April 2011, Buhari was the CPC's presidential candidate in the general election, but he lost to Goodluck Jonathan.
A historic presidential campaign in Nigeria winds down, and Voice of America is there. Join host Chaka Sali and VOA's Straight Talk Africa this Saturday for special day of coverage of Nigeria's historic elections. You'll get on-the-ground reports from VOA journalists in Nigeria, in-depth discussion and expert analysis of the most important election issues. Straight Talk Africa's special Nigeria Decides election coverage, a commitment to Africa from Voice of America.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
I'm told that there's a saying in your country: to keep Nigeria one is a task that must be done. Today, I urge all Nigerians, from all religions, all ethnic groups, and all regions, to come together and keep Nigeria one. And in this task of advancing the security, prosperity, and human rights of all Nigerians, you will continue to have a friend and partner in the United States of America.
That was U.S. President Barack Obama calling for free and fair elections in Nigeria and to reject the violence that has marred the country's previous polls. Welcome back. And, of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Let me come to you immediately, because you did make a very important statement earlier, Emmanuel. You said that Nigeria is the giant of Africa, which is a very, very strong statement. Now, the question is, to what extent, frankly, is it the giant of Africa? Because in order for it to be the giant of Africa, not just in size or in terms of numerical significance, it has to have responsibilities and obligations. The question is, does it in fact meet that statement when it comes to Africa? I am reminded here by a man called the Osagyefo, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, on March 6, 1957, when he declared the independence of Ghana. He challenged that country. Instead of whining and dining, he said, you know what? The independence of Ghana would be meaningless unless it is linked with the total liberation of Africa. He did not merely talk the talk. He actually walked the walk. So that eventually Africa walked the walk. Yes. Can Nigeria, in fact, walk the walk to justify its being a giant?
Thank you very much. It's a very interesting question. And it is interesting because since President Jonathan had come to the position of the president of Nigeria, there was so much difference. There was so much improvement, economically, manufacturing, you name it.
Mm. What is electricity?
The electricity is, regardless of the electricity problem now, it is still better than it was 10, 20 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
What about unemployment?
Employment. Employment is better now than 10 years ago when he came in. We talk about when he is in power.
What about insecurity in the northeastern part of Nigeria?
Thank you. Security is an issue, just like it's an issue everywhere in the world, even in America here. But you have to realize that security came up maybe a way to get him out of power. But still, as smart as he is and was, he did not go in there to kill everybody.
What about corruption?
Corruption. Thank you. Corruption, biometric. You have seen about biometric here. And you've seen other things. Custom, we realize more money in custom than before, 10 years before. We realize more money from biochemistry as a result of ghost pensioners and you name it. We realize 160-something billion from that. The number goes on and on. You know, I mean, agriculture that has been the problem of Nigeria. I mean, Nigeria has been dependent on agriculture before he came in.
I see. So it seems to me that Lanny Banjo, you should be one very, very proud Nigerian, really, given what you just heard from
regardless of what Jonathan does, I am a very, very proud Nigerian. However, Jonathan is holding the wheel of progress in Nigeria.
In what way?
I'll tell you. Electricity was first generated in 1896 in Nigeria. Then we had about 30 megawatts, which translates to per capita of 1.26 kilowatt. Today, we have about 170 million people. We are still generating less than 4,000 megawatts. And Jonathan has spent over $20 billion on this thing with nothing to show for it. Now, Jonathan claimed that the Navy of Nigeria, which has the constitutional authority to defend the waters, the territorial waters of Nigeria, are not effective. The Navy was not effective. And he now gave the job to his people in Ijaw, the Tompolo, the Alhaji Dokobo, who are the militants. At that particular time, they said 100,000 barrels of oil were missing every day.
But he restored peace in the Niger Delta, didn't he?
400,000 per day were missing. Okay, so this, and Jonathan himself agreed on a public television that yes, there is tiffery in Nigeria, there is tiffery in the government, but there is no corruption. What is tiffery? What is corruption?
But in fairness to him, I think we have to give him credit for restoring a semblance of peace in the Niger Delta, correct?
Well, yes.
He has built some universities, correct?
Correct.
Yes, so he has done something.
Wait a minute.
We'll come back to that. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Joshua from Ghana. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Shaka.
Yujire Terefik, how are you today?
Hi.
What is your question, please? Be very brief. I'm afraid the line doesn't sound good. Let's go to Nigeria. Maybe we'll come back to you, Joshua. Let's go to Eze from Nigeria. Good evening, Eze. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Eze, are you there? Hello?
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. How are you? Could you please turn down the volume because we're getting an echo on the line, Eze?
Hello?
Hello?
Good evening.
Terrific. How are you?
I'm fine.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What is your question?
I'm with you.
Huh?
I'm with you.
I am terrific. What is your question, Eze?
Well, really, the first question I have, I just want to contribute to what...
I cannot kindly get you. Let me come.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you getting, are you hearing me now?
Yeah, could you ask the question, please? You have 30 seconds.
Hello?
Hello? I'm afraid we seem to be having some technical difficulties here. This, of course, perhaps, in fact, should be attributed to the presidency of Goodluck Ebele Jonathan, because you can see that the lines are not doing good, is it? Well, what about you? Let's face it. You've been to Nigeria.
Yes, I lived in Nigeria.
How long did you live there?
I lived there for 3 years.
For 3 years? In whose administration did you live under?
President Obasanjo.
Which one now? Obasanjo has been president twice and military head of state once.
The civilian elected presidency from
1999?
Yes, 1999. I actually moved there in late 1999, all the way through 2002. And I keep going back. And I grew up in Ghana. You know, somebody, in fact, one of Nigeria's ambassadors here said, you know, Ghana and Nigeria, they just go back and forth between each other. I had Nigerian classmates. So, yes, I feel like for a non-Nigerian, I pay attention to Nigerian issues pretty well. Mm-hmm. So I feel pretty confident in offering some opinion. Now,
does Jonathan deserve, in your view, to be re-elected, or does, in fact, Nigeria need change, as a lot of people are clamoring?
Well, despite what I've said, I will take the fifth on that, in the sense that I think Nigerian voters have to decide.
Right.
I mean, I have lived in the United States for a long time.
Do they have an opportunity to decide?
Yes.
Is it going to end up like another selection, like across most countries across the continent?
Which is why I think all this attention, the fact that VOA, Shaka, you are doing 3 series, I think is wonderful. The attention on Nigeria is important, not just because of the size and the claim to being a giant, but because of its importance, and also it tells the Nigerians the world is watching. Now, they've had several elections since 1999, so I think this is one of the better prepared ones, and therefore, yes, I have a fair amount of confidence that they will get to decide. As to who will win, I cannot answer that question, because I can tell you that here in Washington, you hear a certain bit of analysis, and you can tell, well, one person favors this one or another. But in any election, if you talk to committed supporters, you will hear things in black and white. Nobody can predict any elections. If anyone tells that they are wrong, at the end of the day, if the elections are accepted to be fair, then we see what the people decide.
How do you respond to some skeptics who say that electorally, the future of Nigeria, in fact, may be behind it, that it goes back to June 12th, 1993, when Nigeria carried out one of the freest, one of the most transparent elections perhaps on the continent, and it was annulled by General Ibrahim Badamasi Babangida?
Oh, I will say to those people, you know, General Buhari, when he was in London, one of the things he was asked and his response was, times have changed. And now, of course, that's a very nebulous statement. But the one thing that I'm sure has changed in Nigeria and much of Africa, West Africa, is that ordinary Africans are very tired of interventions.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Emmanuel Nude, chairperson and president of Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. committee of the Goodluck Ebele Jonathan Global Campaign Team for 2015. Ogbenlanle Banjo, former National Conscious Party gubernatorial candidate of Ogun State of Nigeria and supporter of opposition presidential candidate Major General Buhari. Nia Kwete, an independent Africa policy analyst based here in Washington, D.C., who is currently working with the African Immigrants Caucus. And last but not least, my colleague Peter Klote, who is on assignment in Nigeria covering the historic election. He joined us earlier in today's program via telephone link up from Victoria, Lagos. Thanks to our affiliate station, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. Again, join us Saturday, March 28th at a special time, 1800 UTC to 1900 UTC, as we bring you a special edition of Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, and please remember to keep the African hope.